that my brother Dwayne needs any introduction. I think everybody here probably knows him, but in case there's someone that doesn't, he's one that takes the gospel very seriously. And when he studies to bring a message to us, he does so humbly, call upon the Lord to direct him. And so I know that as my brother talks to us today, it'll be a message that he's been moved to bring to us. And so I ask for him and for yourselves your careful and prayerful attention so that you don't miss anything that he has to bring forth to us as he's directed. And so I give you at this time our brother, Dwayne Ely.
Thank you, Hubert. It is good to be here today and to see each one of you here. You know, for the last couple of weeks on Thursday nights, we've had a money management class. And we've been studying different aspects of managing our money, our stewardship with our money, and going over some scriptural references and working on some budgets and that type of thing to learn more how to manage our money, which I think is very important in our lives. But in that first class we had, we were reading some scriptures where it talked about the rich, the woe unto the rich. And our sister Erica said something in that class that, hit me different than it has ever hit me before. Because she's been to third world countries, and she knows the difference between rich and poor. And we were talking about the rich, and she said, but we are so rich. This nation is so rich. And, you know, I've known that. I've been to third world countries. I have known that very clearly, that we are a rich nation. But this hit me in a way that has never hit me before. And I will talk about that a little more as we go on. And that's the title of my sermon today, Riches. The first aspect I have is the characteristics of the rich. Let's turn first to Proverbs chapter 18, verses 10 and 11. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and as an high wall in his own conceit. We see here that the righteous, you know, what is their strong city? Their strong tower is the Lord, isn't it? It's Jesus Christ. But the rich man's wealth is his strong city. It's a warning, isn't it? A warning to the rich. And we see that so prevalent today. Those that are rich, that they put their faith and their hope in their riches and not on God. They make their riches their strong city. What a false teaching this is. Let's turn to Alma, chapter 2, verse 10. This is on page 311. And in all these things they were lifted up in the pride of their eyes, For they began to wear very costly apparel. Let's skip on down to verse 13. For they saw and beheld with great sorrow, and the people of the church began to be lifted up in the pride of their eyes, and to set their hearts upon riches and upon the vain things of the world. This is the characteristics of the rich. They are lifted up in pride, and they set their sights upon the vain things of the world. That's what they put to be most important in their lives. A warning. Verse 14, and they began to be scornful one towards another, and they began to persecute those that did not believe according to their own will and pleasure. And thus, in the eighth year of the reign of Judges, there began to be great contentions among the people of the church. Yea, there were envyings and strifes and malice and persecutions and pride, even to exceed the pride of those who did not belong to the church of God. And thus ended the eighth year of the reign of Judges. And the wickedness of the church was a great stumbling block to those who did not belong to the church. And thus the church began to fail in its progress. The church was failing, wasn't it? And why was it failing? Because it was lifted up in pride. It was seeking after the riches of this world. They were setting their sights upon the vain things of this world. We see this is so prevalent of what happens to the rich. There's a pattern here of what rich people do. It doesn't mean that they all do that, but it is a warning to everyone that if they obtain riches, or when they obtain riches, that this is what can happen to them if they are not careful. And if they don't put their hope and trust and faith in our Lord and Savior. Now let's look at the next section. Who are the rich? We're talking about rich people. Let's decide who those people are. The definition of rich: having wealth or great possessions, abundantly supplied with resources, means, or funds. They have enough, don't they? They have enough of everything. They're abundantly supplied with resources, means, or funds. They have possessions. To me, the rich have more than what they need. They have an excess. Let's look at the definition of poor, which we know is the opposite of rich. Poor, having little or no money, goods, or other means of support. The poor people of this world have very little. And those of us that have been to third world countries, we have seen that firsthand. We have seen these people, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who are literally dirt poor. They live on dirt floors and mud huts. They are poor. They have very little goods and very little means of support. So where are we at? Who are the rich? Who are we talking about when we talk about the rich? How do we compare to the world? You know, I think a lot of times we compare ourselves to the United States of America, don't we? And we see the very rich and wealthy people in this world, in this nation. And we know that we are far below that. I found this on the internet. It's called the Global Rich List. And the global rich list calculations are based on figures from the World Bank Development Research Group. To calculate the most accurate position for each individual, we assume that the world's total population is 6 billion. And this was done several years ago, so the population of the world is more than that today. It's 6.4 billion, 6.5 billion. It changes every day, but it's somewhere in there. But that's what they're basing this on, is 6 billion people. And why is this organization doing this? Why do they have this website out there? This is what they said. People are obsessed with wealth, but we gauge how rich we are by looking upwards at those who have more than us. This makes us feel poor. We wanted to do something which would help people understand in real terms where they stand globally and make us realize that, in fact, most of us and those who were able to view this web page are in the privileged minority. We want people to feel rich and give some of their extra money to a worthwhile charity. So that's their goal in this, is to get people to realize where they are at and give more to charity. They have on this website, you can just plug in your how much money you make, and it'll tell you where you rank in the world. And I can't say this is 100% accurate, but I'm sure it's pretty close. So if you make $2.37 per day, where do you think you rank? $2.37 a day, $865 a year. Where do you think that would rank you in the world? It's exactly in the middle. If you make $2.37 per day, you're exactly in the middle of the world ranking. A lot of our people in Africa don't make that much, do they, Brian? They're below that. Exactly in the middle, $865 a year. Does that make you feel a little richer? If you make the minimum U.S. wage at $5.15 per hour, and I think that's still the minimum wage, is $5.15 an hour, you are in the top 13.1% of the world. The top 13.1% at making $5.15 an hour. Now, I realize that if we're making $5.15 an hour, we are not rich in this economy and this society, because at $5.15 an hour, we can't get by. You cannot afford rent and a car and gas and food on $5.15 an hour. I realize that. You do not have any excess. Now let's go on. If you make $10 per hour, you are in the top 10.93% of the richest people in the world. If you make $15 per hour, you are in the top 6.48% of the world. If you make $20 per hour, you are in the top 2.71% of the world. If you make $25 an hour, you are in the top 0.887% interest. At $25 an hour, you are in the top 1% of the world. Now we're getting to that range of excess, aren't we? We're getting into that range. We're into that range of being rich. If you make $100,000 per year, you're just in the top 0.6%. Very close to those making $25 per hour. So are we rich? Compared to the world, we're very rich. We know that to live in this nation, it takes a certain amount of money to just get by. But I think a lot of times we don't take into consideration our excess. It takes so much money to have sufficient. And I think if you just make enough money to have sufficient, you're not rich. You're rich compared to the world, but you're not rich compared to this society, to the cost of living here in this nation. But if you have excess, and if you have lots of excess, I think that's a warning. It's a warning to us. And this is part of what Erica was saying when she said that. I saw these things in a whole new light that I had never seen before. I knew we were so much richer than these other countries. But I did not consider myself to be rich. The third section, warning to the rich. Some of you are rich in this congregation. And you know who you are. I may not know. Some of you are poor, but some of you are rich. I think this is talking about middle class America. The rich is not just talking about the Donald Trumps and the Bill Gates and the top movie stars and the athletes that are making $12 million a year. We know they're obscenely rich. The word abundance means an extremely plentiful or oversufficient quantity or supply. We're going to read a scripture a little later that talks about abundance, that the people had abundance. Extremely plentiful or oversufficient quantity. They had more than what they needed. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. Remember, this is a warning to the rich. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. A warning to the rich that if they trust, put their trust in their riches, they're going to fall. Our riches will all be gone someday. All the things that we have in this temporal life will be gone. The only thing that will be left will be our spirit. And the good works that we have done in this life. Let's turn over to 2 Nephi chapter 6, verses 62 to 64. This is on page 109. This is one of the scriptures that we are reading. I'm not sure if Erica made her comment after this one or the next one. Verse 62. But woe unto the rich, which are rich as to the things of this world. I have read that scripture many times. And I have known that I was rich compared to these third world countries. But I did not think that that applied to me. That scripture applies to me, a warning. Woe unto the rich, those that have excess. middle class America. For because they are rich, they despise the poor, and they persecute the meek, and their hearts are upon their treasures. Wherefore their treasure is their God. And behold, their treasure shall perish with them also. And we know that not all rich are like that. We're going to read a scripture later that talks about people that are rich and they do good with their money. But it is a warning to us. Woe is a warning. That word means warning. Because there's great deception in riches. It is very easy for people to be lifted up in pride and set themselves above others. A warning to the rich. Let's look at Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 to 26. This is another one of those scriptures that I have not applied to myself. I have applied to these people that are filthy rich. Verse 23, Matthew 19:23. And then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily, verily, or verily I say unto you, that a rich man can hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven because it is so easy to fall into temptation and be lifted up in pride. Can hardly enter. Verse 24, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And I can remember as a child hearing this. And of course, I'm looking at this little eye of the needle and I'm looking at the camel and I know it's impossible for that to happen. But that's not what it's saying. It's not saying this camel is going to go through that little eye of a needle. We know that's impossible. But we know it's not impossible for the rich to enter in the kingdom of heaven. I think this camel is talking about is the gate. The gates of the city were small and had arches, and it was difficult for that camel to go through that entrance. Sometimes they had to get down on their knees, and they had to take their baggage off. It was difficult for them. And I think that's what Christ is telling us here. He's warning us, saying it is going to be difficult if you're rich. It's going to be harder. Because you're going to have to overcome some of these things, especially in the society today where the world, our nation, tells you that you should be rich, you deserve to be rich, and if you're not rich, you're not successful. Doesn't it? Society tells us that. We can't listen to that because just what we read here, a warning to us. Verse 25. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So without God in their lives, it may not be possible for the rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. They must have Jesus Christ in their life. They must have this faith and hope and charity and this service and good works and following the commandments. This hope for eternal life. Those things must be present in our lives. Let's look at the responsibilities of the rich. And you'll see as we read some of these that it applies to more than just the rich. Some of these apply to all. Let's turn over to 3 Nephi 11, 11 through 13. This is on page 668. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. We are required to pay our tithing, the tenth of our increase. And this applies to all. It applies to the rich and the poor. This is a commandment of God. This is taught in the third world nations of the poor. It's taught in Africa and the Philippines and Yucatan on Honduras to pay their tithing, even though they are poor. And if we don't pay our tithing, what's it say? Have you robbed me? We are robbing God if we are not paying our tithing. But there's great rewards, isn't it? That if we do that, if we do what God asks us to do, He has promised to bless us and strengthen us. Great blessings for paying our tithing. But it is one of those things that God has commanded us to do. Let's turn over to Mosiah chapter 9, 60 through 64. This is on page 261. And again, Alma commanded that the people of the church should impart of their substance, every one according to that which he hath. So they were to impart of their substance, every one according to what he had. If he have more abundantly, he should impart more abundantly. I think that is talking to us. Sometimes we think that we have paid our tithing. We have paid our 10%. We have done all that God has asked us. That is not true. Those that have more abundantly should impart more abundantly. It is what God is asking us. Those that are rich. Those that have excess. That they are to give more abundantly. And he that hath but little should be required, and to him that hath not should be given. And thus they should impart of their substance, of their own free will, and good desires towards God, and to those priests that stood in need, yea, and to every needy naked soul. And this he said unto them, having been commanded of God, and they did walk uprightly before God, imparting to one another, both temporally and spiritually, according to their needs and their wants. We see this scripture goes on and talks even beyond the temporal, doesn't it? It talks of the spiritual. And we know we have been given abundantly spiritually. Because we have the truth. We have the truth. So there is more required of us. We have been given abundantly. We are to pass that on to others. You know, there's all different ways that we can help in society today. It goes beyond just the things of the church. We are to help those in need. The hurricanes, great need. I think if we have excess, we are to support those kinds of things the food banks in town. There are things that we need to be supporting, part of our offerings to God. Let's look at Mosiah chapter 2, verse 32. This is on page 222. For behold, are we not all beggars? Do we not all depend upon the same being, even God, for all our substance which we have, for both food and raiment, and for gold and silver, and for all the riches which we have of every kind? We all depend on God. All these things come from God. All the riches of this life, they all come from God. Those that have more, it's a blessing from God. We can't hold ourselves up and boast. Verse 36, and now if God, who hath created you, on whom ye are dependent for your lives, and for all that ye have and are, doth grant unto you whatsoever ye ask, that is right, in faith believing, that ye shall receive. Oh, then, how have ye ought to impart of your substance that ye have one to another? And if ye judge the man who putteth up his petition to you for your substance, that he perisheth not, and condemn him, how much more just will be your condemnation? For withholding your substance, which doth not belong to you, but to God, to whom also your life belongeth. We have to understand that very clearly, that nothing belongs to us. It all belongs to God, even the very breath of life. He has given us that, a gift from God. But everything that we have, it all belongs to God. It's all His. Let's turn over to Alma, chapter 1, verses 40 to 47. This is on page 301. We see here an example of people that were rich and how they used their money. Verse 40. And they did impart of their substance, every man according to that which he had, to the poor and the needy and the sick and the afflicted. And they did not wear costly apparel, yet they were neat and comely. And thus they'd established the affairs of the church. And thus they began to have continual peace again, notwithstanding all their persecutions. And now, because of the steadiness of the church, they began to be exceeding rich, having abundance of all things whatsoever they stood in need. So we see that it's not necessarily wrong to be rich. It just can be dangerous. These people were becoming exceedingly rich. But let's see what they did with their money. An abundance of flocks and herds and fatlings of every kind, and also abundance of grain and of gold and of silver and of precious things, and abundance of silk and fine twine linen, and all manner of good homely cloth. They had all they need, plus some, didn't they? They had an abundance. They had excess. And thus, in their prosperous circumstances, they did not send away any which were naked, or that were hungry, or that were athirst, or that were sick, or that had been nourished. And they did not set their hearts upon riches. Therefore they were liberal to all, both old and young, both bond and free, both male and female, whether out of the church or in the church, having no respect to persons, as to those who stood in need. they were blessed with riches. But they weren't setting their hearts upon them. They weren't lifted up in pride. They were using those riches for good. They understood that those were blessings from God. Things that He had given them. They had an abundance. And they were willing to give to those in need. This is an example for us. And I'm not saying that we don't do this. But those that are rich need to look in their lives and see to what level they are giving to others. Are they giving the minimum? Or do they have an overabundance that they can share with others? Now let's look at the next section. What are true riches? What are the true riches in this life? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3, 13 through 15. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. These are some of these true riches in this life, that we get wisdom and understanding, that we understand where we're at in life, that we have understanding of the Scriptures, that we are wise in how we manage our lives. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. This wisdom and understanding is far greater than gold and silver and rubies. True riches. The gold and the silver and the rubies are not the true riches. It's these spiritual things. Let's turn over a few chapters. Proverbs 13:7. There is that maketh himself rich. He hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. The rich of this world may be poor in spirit. They may not have the spiritual things or righteousness in their lives. Yet the poor, the humble servants of our Lord and Savior, the righteous, they have great riches. The riches that are really important. Let's go to Proverbs 8, 17 through 21. I love them that love me, and those who seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. These spiritual things are what are most important. These are our riches. Eternal life. That is what we are all seeking after. That is true riches. To have lived a life that will gain us eternal life with our Lord and Savior. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. These are our true riches, those treasures that we lay up in heaven by our service to God, by following His commandments. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. That's what so many people in the world try to do. They try to serve both. But we can't do that. We have to pick. Have to choose whether we want to serve God or whether we want to serve money. Can't have two masters. We know that Jesus Christ is our master. He is our Lord and Savior. But if we are serving Him, how can we truly be serving Him if we're lifted up in pride and seeking after the material riches of this world? It can't be done. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Our Lord and Savior knows the things we stand in need of. And if we are willing to serve Him and follow after Him, He will provide us all we need. He will provide us sufficient and maybe even an overabundance. But if He provides us that overabundance, we have a responsibility, don't we? We have a responsibility because that makes us rich. Second Nephi, chapter 6, verses 98 through 102. It's on page 112. Behold, my soul abhorreth sin, and my heart delighteth in righteousness, and I will praise the holy name of my God. Come, my brethren, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore, do not spend money for that which is of no worth, nor your labor for that which cannot satisfy. Hearken diligently unto me, and remember the words which I have spoken, and come unto the Holy One of Israel, and feast upon that which perisheth not, neither can be corrupted. And let your soul delight in fatness. The true riches of this world are free. There is no monetary cost. We know that if we are to serve God, that we are to have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's what He requires of us. Salvation is free. It says here, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. Those that have that thirst, that have that desire to follow after God, to follow after Jesus Christ, it's there, available to them. Even our poor brothers and sisters in foreign countries. Even though they have no money, it is available to them. And as we know, they're the ones that are more receptive, aren't they? The poor of this world are searching for something that a lot of times the rich are not searching for, because they are satisfied with their temporal wealth, not finding the true riches that our Lord and Savior has for us. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He made that atonement. He made salvation available to each one of us. We just need to come unto Him and find those true riches in life. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. All these worldly riches will surely pass away. Someday will have no value to anyone. They will all be gone. And all that will be left will be our spiritual riches, our service to our Lord and Savior, those things that are most important. It says here that if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. A warning to us to not love the world, or to love the riches of this world. But if we have been blessed with them, to use them for good, and realize that all that we have does not belong to us, but is a gift from God. It is a blessing from God to us. And it is our responsibility, each one of our responsibilities, to look into our lives and see where we stand. To see where we're at spiritually. To see if there's more that we can do. To see if there is more that is required of us. I hope today that I brought some things out that will make us think. I think that is important in our spiritual lives, that we are continually evaluating ourselves, to see where we are at spiritually. To see where we're at. And to see what is required of us. And then to diligently seek after our Lord and Savior. And if we do that, if we put our faith and trust in Him, He will guide us and direct us. He will reveal to us what we need to be doing in this life, in every aspect of our life. Thank you.